Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, a podcast where authors and friends share all aspects of the Catholic faith. Learn more on reconciledtoyou.com.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, a podcast about Catholic life in the everyday ordinary. We are going to spend some time today with Erin Dooley and Kristen Jazak. They're going to tell us about Confessions of a Catholic Single podcast. But before I spend time with my amazing guest, I have some exciting news. If you're watching live, you're seeing me dance, which is really kind of awkward and strange. So I'll stop now. But my book, finally, Encountering Signs of Faith from Ave Maria Press, arrived today in my mailbox. I didn't do the big unboxing that everybody tells you to do. It felt like a really private moment. Like, I wouldn't invite you into the delivery room to see my kid born. Why would I have that emotional, yes, there was tears, moment of opening up the box after a long-awaited, this book has been in the works literally for 12 years, which is how long ago I adopted my daughter, Faith. The story is about her adoption and also about how we use tangible signs of faith to teach her about the Catholic Church, the sacramentals, the oils, the spells, the bells of the church. And it's really, the Holy Spirit wrote it. I was just a stenographer. So if you want to check it out, please go to Amazon or Ave Maria Press. We'll have much more as it gets launched on October 28th. But right now, pre-sales are just happening. And I invite you because I have to say the Holy Spirit did really well. It's an awesome book. So, enough of my self-promotion. Let's talk about Confessions of a Catholic Single. Erin Dooley, Kristen Jazak, welcome to A Seeking Heart.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So, Erin, I'm going to start with you. Can you tell us about what is Confessions of a Catholic Single?
Yeah, it is, I call it an audio sitcom. It's kind of a throwback to the days of the old-time radio shows, but it's a comedy. So it's an idea that I had for a TV show. So I would like it to be a sitcom at some point. So I just started with doing an audio version. So it's 7 episodes, basically like one season, and it follows a woman who is newly single again in Las Vegas, and she is a devout Catholic. And so it is about the humor and frustration of being a single Catholic in our world today. So that is and they're about 10-minute episodes. So there's 7 episodes. The 5th one comes out tomorrow, and then the next two in the next 2 Wednesdays. So that is the series.
So in the Catholic small world moment, Kristen Jazak is one of the actresses in Confessions of a Catholic Single, but Kristen's actually one of my dearest and oldest friends. I almost fell over when Erin's, you know, reached out and said, would you like to, you know, talk about my podcast? And I saw the cast and I went, are you kidding? Of course I would. Well, I would love to talk to you anyway, Erin. But the fact that, Kristen, tell us about your role in Confessions of a Catholic Single.
Oh, I am so excited. I play Agnes, and I am basically the quirky younger sister roommate of the lead character. So basically the lead character has a bestie, a best friend, who is a priest. and I actually play the younger sister of the priest, and she is just wild and fun and just comes out with the craziest things. And that is my dream come true, to play the crazy character in a sitcom. So here we are.
Well, you are so meant for sitcoms. I have been loving and watching Kristen's career for so long. And if anybody's meant for this type of role that's quirky and fun and just brings out a smile on people's faces, Kristen, that is so you. And Erin, I'm so glad you discovered her. So tell us a little bit about, like, why write a sitcom about being a Catholic single?
Well, you know, they say write what you know, so it's my world. I had those that are familiar with different work. You know, I had my documentary that A Way to Forgiveness when I had gone through the divorce and was very serious and like dealing with forgiveness and all of that. And so this is on the other side of all of that experience now, finding myself single again and going through all of that and having conversations with friends that are also Catholic and single. And just, you know, if you don't laugh about some things, you'll cry, right? So just finding the humor in it. And yeah, I mean, there's so many niche stories now out there. You know, there's so many streamers, so many different platforms that you can get these very nuanced stories of voices that might not always get heard. And so I thought I wanted to see an authentic Catholic voice to show that, you know, we're not some crazy Bible bangers that are, you know, just weirdos for some reason that people might have some weird stereotype, but it's like, no, we're just living our everyday life and we just love God and try to abide by what, you know, what we've been taught is how we're supposed to live our life. And so yeah, I just wanted to have that voice out there and figured a lot of people could relate to it. And thought it would be an interesting way to do it with just the audio, having the imagination sort of set the scene a little bit when, yeah, and just a little bit of a challenge as a writer to write only for the ears, which was, yeah, it was pretty interesting and a lot of fun.
So being, you're saying that being a Catholic single is difficult?
It has its challenges.
So what are some of the challenges of being a Catholic, single Catholic woman these days?
Well, it was alarming to, so I moved from the Midwest, from the Chicago suburbs to Los Angeles after my divorce. And so not only was it a culture shock a little bit, because LA is very different from the Midwest, and then having not been single for 14 years, so it was also just, you know, just a lot of bad behavior that people have and a lot of, you know, the morality of the world does not line up with what we would want for our lives as Catholics. Yeah. And to just really have to go through the weeds to try to find somebody that lines up with your values. And especially when you're in entertainment and you, that's the people that you're meeting is a lot of people in entertainment. And because really in, and maybe Kristen has had this experience that when I moved here, the Paul's words of, you know, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more, I really have found that the Catholics that I meet really dig into their faith and are so faithful. You know, people that on the podcast, you know, Kristen and Katie, just such faithful, beautiful Catholics. And I've learned so much about my faith in the past 7 years that I've lived out here. And but it's like, I think it's because there's such, we're just surrounded by, you know, non-believers and a lot of bad things that we have to dig in to our roots. And so that part has been beautiful, but it still is, yes, it can be difficult to meet somebody that shares your faith. So the pool is just, you know, very, a lot smaller, I think. And then, especially, you know, as you get a little older, pool just naturally because people would get married earlier in life as Catholics. So, but yeah, Kristen can share her thoughts on that question as well.
Yeah, I think it's also difficult. Like, Erin's 100% correct. Like, the culture is really hard to date, and even outside of Catholic circles. But I even find inside Catholic circles it can be very difficult because so many. Really? I don't want to say, like, I hate to say it, but you know what, we'll say men and women because there probably are women who also share this as well. I mean, women, I feel like we're always hungry to get married, but but there are, it, like, our culture makes it so difficult to find people who are actually like, yeah, I want my vocation. Like, I want to be in a vocation. Like, to have that, like, even in Catholic circles, like, I can't tell you how many theology on taps I've been to in different parts of the country because I lived in Massachusetts before I lived in LA. And I would meet these amazing guys. Like, I would meet amazing guys, but were they really ready to date? They'd all say they wanted to get married, but yet they weren't dating anyone. And I never really understood that. I'm like, are you meant to be a priest? Well, you're not even working on that. So I don't know what you're working towards here.
So what are some of the challenges that your character faces, Erin? Are they, is there anything you can give us some little spoilers, a little sneak peek?
Well, yeah, the four episodes have come out so far, and so, and it's fictionalized, of course. You know, it's a story, and so the main character, she was widowed in the past year, so it's her best friend, priest, and everybody around her encouraging her to date. And each episode is one of the seven deadly sins, and so it's also
funny.
It was a very interesting talk. I go to a Bible study group with a young adult or young adjacent adult group. And we listened to the first three episodes, and then they shared, we kind of did like a Lexio Divina, so to speak, where they just spoke about what, you know, they kind of thought the Holy Spirit was speaking to them through those episodes. And it was super interesting, and they were very insightful. I mean, they really got a lot out of the faith part of it. And because the main character, Cecilia, she can be a little bit scrupulous. I mean, she goes to confession every week, and, you know, so it's, she finds the small things, which I wanted to do to show that, you know, we can, that's the benefit of going to confession, is to help us to, from getting to, you know, the hardcore things, is like when you, you know, just kind of keeping it tidy week to week. And so it is, you know, each of the sins, you know, like anger and things. It's not, obviously she's not going out murdering somebody. So it's the small, the ways that small sin can creep into your lives, but under the umbrella of these seven deadly sins. So she's, you know, she tries to, in episode three, which I know is Kristen's favorite episode, where they made the dating app profile for Cecilia. And so that was a super fun episode to write and to see the character, you know, go through that. And then in episode four, she actually went on, you know, met for a first date. And so it's all those just, yeah, those moments of getting out there and trying to do things. So, yeah, I don't know if I fumbled my way through an answer of what you asked. But
it was a great answer. No, it's totally everything I asked. Kristen, why is episode three your favorite, or one of your favorites? Why is Erin giving us this little I love that behind the scenes stuff.
No, it was really fun because, first of all, it's an episode that's very small cast for that episode. It's just myself, Cecilia, and the neighbor next door, the next door neighbor. It's just the three of us. And it's just so fun. It's fun because, you know, dating apps can be so hard to navigate. And everyone has like horror stories about dating apps and how to use them and what to do. And just the, you know, it's just so much fun just kind of making fun of that platform and just like the foolishness of what people think about. Like there's this moment where they go through a whole list, like they don't want to scare Cecilia, but God bless. They start talking about all the things that can happen, like ghosting. There's a whole list, and I can't remember all the names. Erin might remember off the top of her head. And the two characters, the neighbor and I, are just like going through this, and we're like, but don't tell her about that. Like, let's not talk about that right now. But it's the reality of like just what the app is and what people go through, you know? So I think that's one of the reasons. And also it's because it was just so much fun working with the other two cast members. When you have this ping ponging going on and the rhythm of it and the speed and this like back and forth with the lines, it's just so much fun. So that was part of the reason why that episode was so fun for me.
So tell us, so this is kind of interesting. So this is an audio sitcom. I love that. A podcast. Again, we're talking with Erin Dooley and Kristen Jazak about the new Confessions of a Catholic Single podcast that is out, just four or five episodes, you just said, in?
Four episodes. The fifth one comes out tomorrow morning. So.
Oh, that's exciting. So tell us a little bit about how is this recorded? Like, are you all together? Is, you know, your voice acting, which I know is a very different, maybe after Erin answers, Kristen, you can tell us a little different, the difference between being a voice actor and, you know, being a whole body actor. I don't know what you would call that.
Yeah. On camera, live action. We recorded them all at once. So I wrote all the seven episodes, and then we had basically two recording sessions because each episode is framed with a confession. Cause I was like, well, I can't name this show Confessions of a Catholic Single without having confessions. And so that's like the framing device that begins and ends where her going to confession. And since that's just those two characters, the priest and Cecilia, we had one night where just the two of them came over and we recorded, and then a second day that everybody came over. But there's 23 actors in it all together, including ones some people just had, you know, one or two lines. And it was really fun because I got to reconnect with people that since the pandemic have moved out of LA. And so there's actually, I think, 7 or 8 different states that are represented in the voice actors.
Oh, fun.
So yeah, different Catholic actors that I knew over the years that, yeah, moved out of state, but they could just record it and then sent it to me. And then I did some audio editing when I got that and tried my best to make it sound like they're all recorded at the same time. But yeah, it was really fun because we were all in the same room and it was, but it was funny because they all were like facing, they weren't facing each other because I wanted to like buffer the sound as best I could. So they were like, you know, there was material to kind of buffer it. So
yeah.
They're all just standing facing the wall on the side. So it was, you know, there was this, you know, the very quick banter of all of them, but it was, they're all just like not, they're trying to like sneak looks at each other, but I'm like, no, keep talking into the microphone to get audio. So another behind the scenes little humor.
Well, that's funny. So Kristen, tell us about your experience again as a voice actor versus a live action actor, but also without being able to look at the person. Like I picture, you know, you're facing each other like we're doing, and you know, because right. You know when the next person's going to talk, you see their nuances. So tell us about that experience. That sounds fun.
Well, number one, and actually it's funny because sometimes with voiceover too, you won't get to actually record with the rest of the cast. So sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes they'll do the audio track, you know, separate. But in this case, it actually, even just having them in the room, you can feel it. There's something, I come from a live performance background, and there's something about live performance where I can't really explain it, but it's like, you can feel like with the other person, like, I know that sounds weird, really put that into words, but it's the truth. But there are two things that I love about voiceover acting. Love. Number one, I don't need to memorize anything. That is like the biggest relief ever, especially when you're recording. We literally recorded 7 episodes at once in one day. Wow. So had that been live, I mean, it would probably be impossible because truthfully, you can't possibly set up for that many scenes with the camera in a full day. Like it just wouldn't have been possible. That actually is another thing that's really interesting about VO acting is the fact that, or voiceover rather, is the fact that, you know, you can do the succession of like scene, and there's no camera setup. You know, normally you have these long waits as an actor and you got to sit down, you take a break, and even in the middle of the same scene, because the truth of the matter is they're going to shoot like a close-up shot of you, they'll shoot a close-up shot of the other actor, they'll shoot a wide shot of like the two of you where they get everyone in the same frame, and every time they do that, they got to set up again. They got to move the camera around, they got to move the lights around, so it was kind of nice. It does help with that, like, that energy and the pacing of comedy to just be able to like go. And then the other wonderful thing is nobody sees you. So I could be wearing my PJs and no one would care, but I, not that I did. I'm one of those actors where I like to feel like the character. So you can ask Aaron, I actually came dressed as much as possible, like towards the character. Cause it just makes me feel more like I'm in it. Like I'm in her skin, you know? So
yeah. And you made that vision board. That was super cool to see. Yeah. Like it's so much fun as a creator to see the characters or the actors just, you know, totally embody and wrap their arms around a character and just elevate it with everything that you guys bring to it. So how much you just loved it. And I did a table read and only Katie had been cast at that point because I wrote it with Katie in mind, who plays Cecilia, because she and I have worked together in the past. And so I kind of knew her voice. She was kind of similar to mine. So, but at the table read, like Kristen was just like phenomenal. And I was like, yes, please. She has to be part of this.
It's not often either. People don't realize as an actor, especially when you're first starting, you get an agent and you have no idea what they're gonna like, what you'll actually get called in for. Like it's kind of like throwing spaghetti on a wall, you know, and like day to day, like if you ask me, like I'd have the weirdest succession of like of what I was going for. You know, I mean, half the time it wasn't necessarily something that I really felt passionate about or really excited about. But truthfully, when I read Aaron's script, and I was so relieved because, like, let's be honest, like what they're, our culture right now in TV and film, I don't want to say it's all bad, you know, and it's all, you know, going, you know, where, but because praise God, there are people like Aaron who are creating yes. the content, and there are many other great faith and family-based, you know, media that's happening. But it was just such a relief, and it was so exciting because I was really getting to a point, and I never even told Aaron this, where I was like, "Am I ever going to be able to do comedy again?" Because I was just yeah. looking at how bad it was, like culturally, like there are so many things that I had to say no to my agent for, like especially over the past year leading up to this series, where I was just like, no, I, you know, I'm just not comfortable with that, my faith, you know, whatever. But it was just, it was such a joy to get this script. And like I said, it's something that I've always wanted to do. Like I've always been passionate about wanting to do sitcoms. And when I read that character, I could see her and I could hear her, and I was so excited about playing her.
Tell us a little bit before we wrap up. Tell us a little bit about the lead character, the person who plays her, and just a little bit about that relationship as well.
Katie Bonenhammer plays Cecilia, and yeah, Katie and I, we met probably maybe 5 or 6 years ago. We've worked on a couple of small projects together, and very, very devout Catholic young woman. And you know, great actress. So I, like I said, I wrote it with her in mind. And actually the image, the poster for it, it has Katie on it for the series. And I actually texted that to her, and I was like, "Hey, I wrote this. Will you be in it? Because you're already literally the poster child for it. I hope you say
yes." Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, that is so funny.
She's
oh my God.
Yeah, I will. So, but
I love that.
Yeah. So she came on board. And the character, she's, you know, a young, a widow, middle-aged woman, recently had moved to Vegas and has to stay out there because, well, if you listen to the first episode, that she's kind of got some debt now from her late husband. And that's where Agnes comes into play to help her out with that. And so it's just her, and she's very devout and living life and trying to, yeah, just stay faithful as she tiptoes back into the dating world. So that's character.
And just a couple more questions. Like, who do you consider your audience for this? For who do you think would love to, you know, be really, I mean, it's entertaining. So, I mean, I've watched sitcoms about all kinds of stuff and I have nothing to do with my life, but like, so, you know, who do you see as your audience?
Yeah. I mean, obviously the immediate obvious audience would be, you know, other Catholics, particularly Catholic singles. And then beyond that, you know, just other, not, you know, Protestants and evangelicals that might find it humorous, because it's definitely like filled with Catholic things, but it's, we had, you know, an agnostic, a Jewish gal, a Muslim actor. So there was people of different faith traditions that were part of it. And I specifically had asked them, you know, do you feel like a lot of jokes went by you because, you know, you don't share our faith? And it was like, I could tell sometimes, but by and large, it's just, you know, it's life and it's funny. And, yes. And like you, I know I watch shows that are very tailored to specific audiences that are not mine, but it's always, you know, the phrase that in the specific is the universal. So when you're just really faithful to, that telling that story for that particular group of people, so much of the experience is obviously the human experience, and it might look slightly different in that audience. But I think, I hope a lot of people would find it funny, and people that are just maybe more tired of seeing, yeah, like comedy that you can't watch with your kids. I mean, maybe it wouldn't be for like little kids, but you know, if you know, people that are in college or, you know, just starting to date, to be like, you know, might start conversations of, you know, parents to listen with their kids to be like, okay, like you're going to start dating soon. And, you know, these, let's talk about this. So, hopefully a wide audience will listen.
I love that. And I hope that someday it is live action, because I think I love listening to characters come to life, and I love using that time to like walk or whatever, drive and listen. But I also love to watch stuff. I just want to give Kristen a minute to share a little bit about your own ministry, your own, I know you're the Mother Teresa Project, anything you want to share and how people can kind of check out what you're up to.
Sure. Definitely follow me on Instagram. It's at, just like my name is spelled on the screen, Christ in Jzak. So you definitely want to follow me there to hear about different things. I have a movie that I worked on in the beginning of the year in San Diego. It's called Miracle at Manchester. It stars Dean Cain, and I'm in it. I'm very excited about that coming out. We have the premiere in December, and sometime in 2023, the beginning of 2023, that should be coming out. And then also I work behind the scenes working in movie marketing. We have a movie on St. Michael that's going to be in theaters this week that I've been helping promote, St. Michael Meet the Angel. We're very, very excited about that. Awe Enterprises is the company that I'm working with. So we're really excited about that. And I post all this stuff on my Instagram page. And then also, Allison is 100% accurate. I have a one-woman show on Mother Teresa and human dignity and seeing Jesus in every single person. And I've been performing that show for 15 years now, which is like insane to think about.
So good.
But if you go to www.p, the letter P, two as in the number two, P theater, spell re.com, you'll learn more and you can watch clips from the show and even book me. You like to have Mother Teresa and all of the characters in your parish. I play six characters altogether, including a whole.
So good.
It's a safe.
Of how all Kristen's links in the show notes. One of the very first things that I got to do in my own ministry work, thanks to Kristen's encouragement, was Kristen and I used to do a confirmation retreat together where she would act and this one woman show, and then I would do a talk on forgiveness. So thank you, Kristen, for all your encouragement to me in my work and my call to the Lord to serve him when I was like, no way can I do this? And she's like, yes, you can. So thank you, Kristen, so much. And Erin, how can we listen to Confessions of a Catholic Single and follow all the wonderful stuff you do too? I'm also gonna have links to your documentary that you did. That was so powerful. That's where I'll also link to the podcast you and I did about that. It was just so good. But I'm sorry. Tell us about how we can listen and follow along.
Yeah, great. It's available on most all of the podcast platforms. It's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Samsung, YouTube. If, like me, you are a little bit technologically illiterate at times, and it's just YouTube is an easy thing I think most people know how to do. So if you just go to YouTube and Confessions of a Catholic Single, but if they go to my website, dashentertainmentllc.com, it has everything linked on one page, all the different places you can go, and it's right on the homepage. It has the YouTube ones embedded in, so you don't even have to click anywhere. You can just watch them right from there. And if you like them, yeah, subscribe, give them a like. We can leave a comment. So, and share it with friends if you enjoy it.
That is the best love you can give to any creator of you like what they're doing, that you like what what they've created, is to share it, to let other people know that this touched your heart, and it will touch theirs, or it made you laugh, because I'm sure people will very, very much be entertained by Confessions of a Catholic Single. Amazing job, ladies, and thank you so much for joining us today on A Seeking Heart.
Thank you.
And just one more shout out for the shout up today. I'm so excited. Encountering Signs of Faith, an unexpected journey with sacramentals, the saints, and abundant grace of God. Yes, I'm reading my own title because authors don't get to title their own books. This is out now. This is coming out October 28th from Ave Maria Press, but you can pre-order it today. I'm so excited. I can't believe I'm actually holding it in my hands. I'm probably going to sleep with it tonight. True story. Thank you again, ladies, for joining us. And thank you all for listening in. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras. God bless.
Thank you for listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras. Your reviews at your favorite podcast service help this podcast reach others who may be blessed by the content. Please subscribe and share with others. Come back soon for an all-new episode.